Please be seated. A warm welcome to everyone here today, and thank you for braving the weather. Hasn't it been strange this past week? Some days, you know, it's +8, it's -8, doesn't know what to do, it's rain, it's snow. Anyway, thank you for being here this morning. The flowers around the church are from Lois Skinner's funeral yesterday, Lois being a longtime member of the church, and our thoughts and prayers go with the family. And I'm going to put a card up on the bulletin board from Gail Graham, and one of the notes is thank you all the friends at Apple Bay. You help us to feel like family. And so anyway, Gail can't make it out as much as she used to because she's looking after Jerry at home. So anyway, there's a note that you all put up on the bulletin board near the outreach board. A special welcome to Joy today for transferring her membership to Appleby. She has brought a tin of cookies, so you can say thank you to Joy for the cookies at the counter for coffee. It's also great her son Rich is here as well for this special occasion. Please make them feel welcome after the service. Please note there are still leftover stars at the back of the church. Last week, the one on the top said anchor, and I thought that was very appropriate for someone who likes sailing, for someone who also likes will your anchor hold. I flip them over so you can't see the words. Feel free to dig into the bottom or the middle of the deck if you want, and being open to being surprised if you would like a star. A reminder that if you know of anyone who is in hospital, please let me know or leave a note with Virginia. The only way I know people are in hospital is if people tell me so that I can then go and visit them. The Morning Glories potluck is on Tuesday this week, and the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity service is next Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Please put it on your calendar. It's great when we can gather for worship and with other church communities in this part of Burlington. Also, someone is needed to take the service on Sunday, February 16th, when Margot and I are on a winter holiday. It can be as simple as picking out a favorite scripture and talk about what it means to you, whether it's comfort in times of difficulty or maybe one that gives you courage to get up and meet the day. If you're even a little bit interested, please come and talk to me about it. I have some resources to help. And Anne wants to talk to you this morning. Can you imagine that?
Me talk?
Yes.
Unheard of. Good morning. It's January, and I'm going to talk about the rummage sale. Do you believe that? How many months ahead is that? The rummage sale. There is a notice in your bulletin that I'd like you to take note of. And basically, it's while we have the manse, also known as the annex, we might as well use it. Actually, I'm not going to use it. Specifically, our angel, Ruth, will be using it. If you have anything listed here, furniture, mirrors, lamps, all sorts of things that you want to get rid of, that you would like to donate to the rummage sale, but don't want to wait or can't wait, please contact Ruth. Her number is in the bulletin notice here, and she will make arrangements with you to drop the things off at the manse, and Ruth can sell them ahead of time, which she's already done. And you may have noticed last week in our bulletin notice that because of Ruth's brilliance with social media, we surpassed $10,000 for our fall rummage sale, which is unheard of. So thank you very much, Ruth, for all the time and effort that you're putting into this. And please, if you do have items that you would like to, or friends and family, know anybody who wants to part from some of their treasures, please let Ruth know. Thank you.
I just asked Alan if I could do a quick announcement too. Next Sunday, as he mentioned, is the week of prayer, and so there's a service on Sunday next week. The following week, we have a sing-along, so you can pray one week and then sing the next. At 2 o'clock, it's going to be the theme of show tunes. I don't mind a few suggestions if you want to come up to me and give me a song you'd like to sing to. It does not have to be religious. In fact, these are show tunes. So, you know, memories from Cats, Carousel, Oklahoma. There's all kinds of things. The only problem is if I don't have the enough warning of a song you want, I might not have the music for it. So let me know if you have a particular song you want to sing, and I'm hoping you'll all come out, because singing is great, especially when we've got the winter doldrums and all the stuff going on in the world. Sometimes singing really helps. Thank you.
Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship. Let us now acknowledge God's presence in words. We come as your children from our native lands far and wide, from different families and lives. We come across oceans of loneliness, sailing seas of anxiety. We come through fearful storms, through deep lakes of loss. Come, let us worship God, let us pray together. God of the stormy seas and of the still waters, send your Spirit to be with us now. Immerse us with your love. Bathe us in your grace. Call forth from us a spring of praise and prayer. Amen. Our next hymn is from the soft-covered hymn book, More Voices, number 137, Welcome, Jesus, You Are Welcome, 137. Please be seated. Our time of reflection and saying, I am sorry, revolves around the thought and practice of baptism, because it is baptism, like it's Jesus' baptism, we remember on the second Sunday of January. And please look at the window at some time during the service that signifies that. Within the Jewish tradition, there is a practice of immersion in living water for renewal. Living water can be a natural body of water or a specific type of bath called a mikvah. As part of this practice, you would remove not only your clothing, but your makeup and nail polish. You would wash your body and hair, scrubbing yourself clean to remove anything that would separate you from the living waters of God, that every part of your body might touch the water. I would ask you to think about this as you approach the prayer of confession this morning. This is not a time to hold anything back. This is a moment to lay down anything that keeps us from being immersed in God's love. Holy One, we come to you as broken people.
Mired in our own selfishness, stuck in resentment, caved in the mud of pride, and yet you see past the muck and call us beloved. Help us to be vulnerable waters of your grace.
Take a moment to let the waters of God, love and grace, sweep over you. Hear again the voice that says, "You are my own dear child, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. God's river of love flows deep and wide and is always and forever washing you clean. We come to the river of God's love and find it. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, I would ask Dan Perret to come forward, who is the acting chair of Appleby Board. Yep. Oh, no, it is me. We'll get our hand signals right. The church is a community of people with varied gifts, united by the Holy Spirit. We gather to celebrate God's presence, to discern God's truth, and to follow the way of Jesus. By our baptism, we are made members of Christ's church. We exercise this membership in the denomination to which we belong, which for us is the United Church of Canada, and within the context of a local community of faith. We are now to welcome into this congregation one who is already a member of the Church of Jesus Christ.
Ellen, Joy Pierce has asked that her membership be transferred to Appleby United Church. The Pastoral Care Committee appreciates and supports her decision to be formally become a part of the Appleby family. At this time, I will ask Chris McKelvey to come forward and introduce Joy to the congregation.
You can both come up. Come on up, Joy. And it's great we're doing this, obviously, on a day when we remember Jesus' baptism. So it's wonderful. You're going to wait till she gets up here. Right? when she gets up here, yeah.
Good morning. I'm here today to introduce you to Joy Pierce. Sorry. Who was born and raised in Windsor, Ontario. In her 30s, she married and moved to St. Catharines. She has two children, a boy named Rich and a girl named Vanessa. She moves from St. Catharines to Burlington to be near her daughter. Joy likes to go to the senior center where she enjoys playing cards. Today, her son is here from Timmins to visit his mom and also support her choice to become a member of Appleby United Church family. Please welcome Joy to our big family.
You can have a seat here if you want. Okay, thank you. Welcome, and I don't know if you've found out yet, but there's a few other people from Windsor here. You heard a little, you know, yes. I being one of them. I grew up in Windsor.
You got one on each side.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So you're surrounded by Windsorites.
We're going to take over the world.
There you go. Joy, you have requested that your membership be transferred to Appleby United Church. I ask you now, are you willing to live out your baptismal membership of faith in this congregation of Christ Church? If so, answer, I am willing.
I am willing.
Will you join with us as together we celebrate God's presence, live with respect in creation, love and serve others, seek justice, and resist evil? If so, answer, I will, God be my helper.
I will, God be my helper.
Wonderful. Please stand if you are able. Dear friends in Christ, let us pledge to Joy our support and care.
And brothers and
in Christ, we rejoice in the gifts you bring to us. We pledge to you our love and our support. With God's help, we will together live out the mission and ministry of Christ Church. Joy, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome you to the privileges and responsibility of membership in this congregation. We give thanks to God for your witness among us.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And now there's a little blessing. As followers of Christ, we are called to live God's love and faithfulness in this community of faith and beyond. As you do so, may the grace of God attend you, the love of God surround you, and the Holy Spirit keep you now and forevermore.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
You can go back. Please be seated. I always like to see someone moving when it's scripture time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The stories of Jesus are the first reading this morning from Matthew 3, 13 to 17, the baptism of Jesus. At that time, Jesus arrived from Galilee and came to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to make him change his mind. I ought to be baptized by you, John said, and yet you have come to me. But Jesus answered him, let it be so for now, for in this way we shall do all that God requires. So John agreed. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Then heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and lighting on him. Then a voice said from heaven, this is my own dear Son, with whom I am well pleased. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Our second reading is also from Matthew's Gospel, beginning at verse 6. It is part of the Sermon on the Mount. and it includes the section that is entitled The Light of the Body. Beginning verse 19. Do not store up riches for yourselves here on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and robbers break in and steal. Instead, store up riches for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, and robbers cannot break in and steal. For your heart will always be where your riches are. The eyes are like a lamp for the body. If your eyes are sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are no good, your body will be in darkness. So if the light in you is darkness, how terrible the darkness it will be. You cannot be a slave of two masters. You will hate one and love the other. You will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Thanks be to God for these words.
Oh,
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Does anybody here like leftovers?
Yes.
Wow, I like that response. What are your favorite leftovers? Thank you. Tomato sauce, chili stew, dessert. Wow, we've got all kinds of wonderful, wonderful leftovers. I asked you that today because you are getting leftovers. Now, it doesn't mean leftovers of an old sermon, which Andy mentioned earlier today, but rather it just means we're going back to look at the birth narratives as part of our message today. And it seems like leftovers because we've already celebrated Jesus' birth. I am Alan Warren, and today we're going to talk about Jesus' baptism. And thank you for coming when we weren't sure what the weather was going to be like today. Now, today, you will learn about one word that I use to describe Jesus. You will also see what the Roman Emperor and Jesus had in common and hear a story of what is possible when you see the world through Christ's eyes. So my question for you this morning is, if you had one word to describe who Jesus was or what Jesus was like, what would it be? If you had one word to describe Jesus. Well, you talk with your friends, say why you chose it, and then I'll ask you later. So that's your question today. What one word would you use to describe Jesus? Please go. And say why. Why have you chosen that word? Okay, thank you. Please stop. What word did you choose? Teacher, thank you. Mysterious, thank you. Any other words? Love, thank you. Another?
Gentle.
Gentle, thank you. Forgiveness, compassion, thank you. Hope, is that what I heard? Light. Kind. Determined. Understanding. Thank you. Another?
Rebellious.
Wow. I need to talk to you. That sounds awesome. Rebellious. Radical. Thank you. You see how much better it is when we talk with one another and the different things when we can come up with rather than just listening to me choose one word. What a great variety and array of descriptions for Jesus. I chose the word humility this morning because the early church had a very hard time with Jesus' baptism. We see it reflected in Matthew's gospel. I ought to be baptized by you, John said, and yet you have come to be baptized by me. Humility. Now, I want to ask you another question, and you can just shout it out. Can you remember some of the titles for Jesus in the Christmas stories? What titles were used?
Messiah,
thank you. Any others?
Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace, thank you.
King,
thank you. Emmanuel, thank you. Others?
Counselor,
wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God, if I remember that passage correctly. Savior. We already heard Messiah and Lord. Did you know that a lot of those titles were also titles for the Roman Empire? Jesus and the Roman Empire had a lot of titles in common, Son of God being one of them. Inscriptions on the statues in Jesus' day were like bulletin boards and TV ads of our day. Their art and literature, poems, stories of their day is like our internet, spreading the word about world news. One official inscription read, "The birthday of God, Augustus, marked the beginning of the good news for the world." Does that sound familiar at all? Good news for the world? How about in other places, Augustus was called Savior of the whole world? Do those words sound familiar? Go home and reread the angel's message to the shepherd in Luke again. Refried beans. That was one of the things I was supposed to say about leftovers. A major theme in Luke's gospel is the marginalized. Jesus is born to a peasant couple. And do you remember who the first purple people were that were told about his birth and were given the task to tell others? Thank you, the shepherds. Were they high and mighty, well up on the social scale? No, exactly. Thank you. They were nobodies. They lived on the margins of society. But anyone who heard Luke's gospel in the first century knew that Luke was contrasting the power of the high and mighty Emperor Augustus to the way of the child born with only a manger for a bed behind an out-of-the-way inn in an out-of-the-way town, Bethlehem. The emperor's power is shown in that story by the fact he orders a census and the whole world, throughout the known world, that census took place. He speaks and it comes into being. Have you ever known of or heard the term Pax Romana? Thank you. It means peace. But the Roman Empire promised peace through power made violently at any cost. He bought peace to the kingdom by defeating the other generals that were riving for the term of emperor. The figure of Augustus personified power over people. Yet the baby who the angels praised grew up to be a storyteller, preacher, healer, proclaimed a different kind of power. The power of God made manifest as peace nonviolently through love and compassion. The love of God, love of neighbor, love of self. Power with others through love and compassion, not power over through violence. And I don't know about you, but I get tired of reading of all the violence going on in the world and in the news today. Humility. I think that's a good word for Jesus. Another word is incarnation. As Jesus comes up out of the water, the voice from heaven says, "This is my own dear son," another translation says, "the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Words of affirmation that we constantly need to say to ourselves as a reminder of God's unmerited love and grace. So every morning when you get up and look in the mirror, you are not to say, "Ugh," okay, or "Oh my God," you know, you are to say, "Alan, you are my own dear son," or if you're a woman, "daughter, in whom I am well pleased." Our faith is founded on a love that will not let us go. You are my own dear child, in whom I am well pleased. Imagine the impact that would have on your life if you said it throughout the day. After Jesus' baptism in Matthew, and it's kind of weird what the church lectionary does, we read about John the Baptist the second Sunday of Advent, okay? And then we truncate the story, and now we read about his baptism, which immediately follows what we read about John the Baptist. We read about his baptism, we truncate it, and then the beginning of Lent, we read about the temptation in the wilderness. All of these flow together. In Matthew's gospel, after Jesus' baptism, he's driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to sort out what he's going to do with his life. And then he sets forth into the world with a sense of purpose and mission or ministry. Now, what kind of baptism do we usually do in the United Church of Canada? Big people or very little people? Little people, thank you. We do infant baptism. Now, in Jesus' day, you see, Jesus is all grown up there when he is baptized, adult baptism. Now, in our tradition, we have infant baptism. And in a sense, what is the second part of infant baptism? Thank you very much. It's confirmation. The child confirms the promises the parents made for the child on their behalf as an infant. Now, I love a story one minister told about this passage in Matthew. It starts off with the question, where is Kyle? Are there any Kyles around? Any Kyles? Nope, no Kyles. Where is Kyle? You see, Kyle attended the church's confirmation classes and was confirmed and then stopped coming to church. Where is Kyle? Concerned, the minister decided to call Kyle's folks and asked, is Kyle okay? You know, we see him in a church quite a bit, and then he just sort of dropped off. They seemed very surprised I was calling to check up on them. He distinctly remembers the mother saying, oh, I guess I thought Kyle was all done. I mean, he was baptized and confirmed and everything. Isn't he done? You know? And then the minister said to himself, we have done something wrong. You see, confirmation isn't the end of the Christian journey. It's only the beginning. And Matthew's gospel makes it very clear, because after Jesus' baptism, he is tempted in the wilderness to sort out his vocation. What am I going to do in my life? What is my life all about? And that can change throughout our lives many times. And then he's sent out into the world to do his life work and ministry. Baptism, confirmation. It's about sorting, struggling with who we are, and then going out and doing our life's work and ministry where? In the world. Thank you. Some churches, to try and rectify this misperception, now call it confirmation and commissioning to signify the Christian journey has just begun. Incarnation. Your incarnation, my incarnation. How do you live out your belovedness in the world? That's a hard question for all of us. Now, the eyes have it. You ever heard of that phrase? The eyes have it? Well, in today's gospel, we read about the eyes are like a lamp for the body. If your eyes are sound, your whole body is full of light. Biblical scholars tell us that to make sense of this passage, we must first know something about how the ancients understood eyesight, whereas we understand the eye as a window that lets light in. The ancients understood the eye as a lamp that projected inner light outward into the world. Notice the difference? Letting light in, letting light out. Now, through modern science, we have a much better understanding of the anatomy of the eye and how the eye works with the brain to help us see. But we also know, have you ever played that game, you start saying something and it goes around in a circle and it comes back? Is it the same when it comes back? No. Do two people ever see the same instant the same way? No. If you had a group of four or five people talk about an accident or an accident report, they would all describe it differently. We do not see the world the same way. Perhaps the ancients were onto something. Are you an optimist or a pessimist? Thank you. Do you see the glass half empty or half full? Half full. Thank you. Do you think how you see the glass affects how you see the world? Absolutely. While optometrists have an understanding of the mechanics of how the eye works, we have come to realize we do project something of our inner selves onto the world around us, dramatically shaping the way we see and experience the world. So if we were to see the world through the eyes of Jesus, what would we see? How would the world be different? And would we have the courage to act and live differently? Can I tell you a story this morning? Thank you. It's not one of my stories. It's a story of someone else, but I love it. The first church that Wallace Boober served as a pastor, there was a much beloved couple, Orville and Woody Kessler. Yeah, I don't get that name either. And they replaced it a number of times. Margot said, did you spell it right? I said, yes. I asked her to help me pronounce it right. I'm not good at pronunciation. They were salt of the earth folks, simple, kind, and faithful. And the light of Christ shone brightly through them. And the one thing the Kesslers were known for, both in the church and the community, was their jail ministry. It was something the two of them started and led together. Every Thursday morning, they got up and went to the Johnson County Jail to lead a Bible study and pray with the inmates. They befriended them. They had birthday parties for them. They wrote letters, thousands and thousands of letters over the years, to people in prison and just out of prison. They invited ex-convicts into their home for supper and holidays. Orville and Woody did this faithfully for nearly 30 years. 30 years. And countless people would testify how their lives were transformed as a result of knowing these people. What was it like to see the world through the Kesslers' eyes? The average person looks at people in jail and sees only criminals, thugs, delinquents, predators, dangers to society. Woody and Orville Kessler looked at these same people and saw something quite different. Human beings made in God's image, fallen like the rest of us, but beloved children of God, men and women who Christ died to save. Faith makes a difference in how you see things, makes a difference on how you see the world. It makes a difference how you treat and reach out to others. How do you see the world? What kind of eyes do you have? Remember the refried beans that I mentioned before? I know Advent is over, but I want to share with you a story about John the Baptist from Advent Unwrapped that focuses on our eyes. It was suggested it be read the second Sunday of Advent. Imagine John sitting beside a tree next to the Jordan River at the end of a long day. Now the day ends. The poor retreat to the safety of their squalid shelters, and the snakes slither back into their dens. Day after day they come out, the pathetic and the curious, the furious and the frenzied. They are drawn out from the corners of their unhappy lives, drawn by a spirit of longing they can only vaguely remember but cannot name, drawn to the prospect of a life worth living, drawn into the water that washes them clean. And in the moment that they rise up out of the water and gasp for breath, I watch their eyes. There are those whose eyes are still clouded. Their desperate lives have been so crippled by poverty, their family members dismembered by violence, that their lives already left their bodies. And their eyes that flash with terror, they try to conceal who they really are and what they have done. Because if you knew who I was, you might not like me. And as if the sacred cannot see what is done in secret. And then there's those who rise out of the water with eyes wide open, filled with sudden remembered memories. Memories of who they used to be out here long ago. People shaped by the wilderness and defined by a life-giving covenant. Remembering the stories of their people, of Moses' escape from Egypt. Out here, they remember and they repent. And then there's those with cold, snake-like eyes, the look of treachery and betrayal. Shedding their skin will never be enough. Only those whose hearts are truly open and ready, only those who turn and walk in the way of love and justice can enter the kingdom of God. And then there were those eyes, unlike any I had ever seen. As he came up out of the Jordan, his eyes met mine, and I saw something I'd never seen before. Hope. Here at last was evidence of the love that can transform life and bestow true joy. Here at last was the hope that empowers you to be fearless. I baptize you with water and words, but the one whose love is fearless will baptize with spirit and with fire. When people look into your eyes, what do they see? Compassion, grace, forgiveness, anger, resentment, confusion, lost. And when you look out at the world, what do you see? Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is 562, Jesus Calls Us or the Tumult, from the hardcover hymnal, 562.
Sing. angels heard it by the Galilean lake. Turn from home and toil and kindred, leaving all for Jesus' sake. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, saying, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by your mercies, Savior, may we hear your call. Give our hearts to your obedience, serve and love you best of all.
Please be seated. Our offering gives witness to the fact we see the world through eyes of hope and trust. We trust that God is still at work in the world to help the light shine in the darkness, and this gives us hope. Thanks be to God. We'll now have our morning's offering.
My heart.
Let us pray. Mighty God, as people made new by waters of your Spirit, we come to you as your children. Accept these gifts, the humble yet holy work of our hands, the humble yet holy value of our lives, the humble yet holy truth of our hearts. Fill us with the brim as you would an earthen vessel, and then keep pouring so that our lives would overflow with your love in the world. Amen. Please be seated. Our pastoral prayer is responsive today. It again focuses on the theme of water and how the theme of water has been with the people of Israel and with us as followers of Jesus. And when there's a time of silence, I will begin the "We Come to the Waters of Mercy," just so we all know when to start up again. Let us pray. Gracious God, from the moment your Spirit moved over the watery chaos of creation, calling forth order and life, you have been journeying with your people. Tossed by the waters of the flood, delivered from bondage through the parting of the seas, you sustained your people and blessed them with freedom and new life.
And so you
sustain us with our ancestors who led the way, with your communities throughout the world, with all those who have yet to come. We come to the waters of faith. We come to you. Our journeys are not easy. Sickness, loss, despair, loneliness, and fear are our constant companions. Today we take a moment to remember those who are sick, lonely, or afraid. We come to the waters of mercy. We come to you. God, our journeys are not easy. When the ways of sin and death seem overpowering, we remember how Jesus was baptized in the water of the Jordan, anointed with your Spirit. By the baptism of his death and resurrection, Christ sets us free, gives us hope that love will overcome. We come to the waters of joy. We come to you. We give you thanks, O God, for the gift of water. Water that washes us clean from the muck of our lives. Water that revives our parched spirits. Water that sustains us on the long journey. Waters that bear us up in times of joy and gives us strength in times of sorrow. Send your Spirit on us and this water, and all who pass through it may be filled with grace, with love, and new life. We come to the waters of love. We come to you. Amen. Let us now join together in the vision Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Number 96 in the Hard Hymn Book, Will You Come and See the Light? Number 96.
Will you come and see the light if I but fail? what is right, it will heal and save. By the pyramids of greed, there's a longing to be free. Will you hide or decide to meet the light? Will you tell about the light in the prison cell? Though it's shackled out of sight, it is shining well. When the truth is cut and bruised, and the innocent abused, will you hide or decide to meet the light? Will you join the hope alight in the young girl's eye, or the mighty put to flight by a baby's cries? When the lowest and the least are the foremost at the feast, will you hide or decide to meet the light? Will you travel by the light of the babe new birth? In the candle lit at night, there's a gleam of dawn, and the darkness all above is too dim to put it out. Will you
remember that you are sent. God sends you out into the world with eyes that see and ears that hear, where God's love and grace is needed still. So ask God for the courage to act in a compassionate way, and then go be the blessing that God desires you to be.